Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our regular Wednesday stream.
Hello.
We are back. We are indeed the back.
You're not allowed to say we are. It has to be we're back.
We're back.
We're back.
We're back. It's good to see so many of you joining us. There's a little bit of pre-chat. Unfortunately, that always gets nuked in the VOD, but good to see people. Good to see Chancellor Chieftain and a lot of Spurg Media and other people who I see as returning viewers. And of course, James M. and Not Sure and all of our kind of... God, a lot of you have been with us for like 2 years plus now.
People,
thank you.
People know. You know, we know. They know we provide the goods, which is why they are channel members or subscribers to the Substack or people who regularly support us via the Ko-Fi thing. Or the super chats, or super stickers, and I believe that's all the options.
I believe that is most of the options. Yes. For those of you who would like to support us without the YouTube tax, let's say, we do have the Ko-Fi set up, and a few of you have been quite generous through that. So thank you. I'm not sure if any of you want your messages reading out. I think someone sent one the other day, but I did thank them. I don't know if they wanted the message. So. There is that, but yes, we've got the direct donation stuff. We have the Substack, which is still going, and we're still putting out just about two pieces there a week. Although it's probably going to have to slow down.
Yeah, probably will slow down for a bit.
Although we do have the research notes section, and these go up as a podcast always the day after. A lot of people seem quite happy with that, so we're kind of keeping that as a feature. And what I am doing is I'm either doing clarification videos on some of the points we've raised in streams that might be buried in, say, an hour and a half conversation. I understand that's inconvenient for some people. So I'm trying to break down a few things I think are important. And also I'm doing stream clips, and I'm still occasionally, you know, it might be once a month now or once every couple of weeks, but I'll still be uploading pieces from the Substack as videos. So there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, no, it's probably quite likely if you watch our stuff that you maybe aren't aware probably how much of a backlog that we've kind of made over the last month or so. I think we'll just kind of sort of keep chipping away as we have done. If it means that things slow down in future a little bit, it's really not the end of the world, because people know when there is going to be another wave of stuff that it will be good.
Yes, we'll not go over too much stuff. Is there anything else? I don't think there's really anything else particularly we need to shill as people filter in. So
no,
what I'll do is I don't know, there's a few layered jokes in the thumbnail. Initially, you just wanted to do this because we'd seen a story. We'd seen the beer Cruz Campo pop up everywhere.
Yes.
And spoiler alert, not a very good beer. No. Not at all.
Cruz Campo, I thought it was Madre.
I thought we was Tia Maria.
Yeah.
No, you idiot, that's not a bit.
I thought we was San Miguel.
Oh, I thought we were Aldi's own brand Tipo Soco. No, it's... it's to do with... A few of you may have seen it on social media, but it's to do with Nudge Fest. And
no,
this...
Sorry.
Nudge stock. It's Nudge Woo! Stock. Woo! Nudge Nation, bro.
Hello, Nudgers.
It is a self-congratulatory gathering of advertising people. And we did put Sadiq Khan in the thumbnail, so this should get a million views.
Of course, Khan's enjoying it.
Yeah.
Kraken pint.
You'll see why that's relevant later, because we figured some stuff out, and we figured out who came up with the May adverts.
I wait till you see the amount of reality we are about to describe.
Wait till you see the reality you're about to get a description of.
I'll sort of read the intro section we've got here, just in the note.
I think I get quite mad halfway through the intro.
Oh no, it's because I've added another paragraph.
Yeah,
I think it'll hang. So, the confluence of supposedly private industry, social science, and government has always been awash with psychobabble nonsense and wonks who spout it. But as the governments and the elite class at large get more and more insulated from the general population, their reliance on these supposedly magical behavioural science tools increases. Especially in moments of crisis, propaganda must then be intensified to ensure the regime's legitimacy stays intact. We saw this at its unprecedented peak during COVID, where necessity demanded development of new propaganda techniques. Nudge units were a vital part of this process by developing, consulting, and working on marketing language, software, consumer goods, and and a myriad of other things to ensure the legitimacy of the regime's narrative. But basically, you know, everything was awash with COVID messaging.
Yes, it was.
It is actually everywhere, and you cannot avoid it. This does what the ultimate goal of any propaganda is. It guarantees participation in the regime's systems of organizations.
Super nudge.
The social engineering of the Behavioral Insights team, aka the Nudge Unit, was engaged in or portrayed down as begrudgingly being used to save society. The PR and advertising industry are attempting to maximize their perceived influence, which results in cartoonish spectacles like we're about to look at here, which is Nudge Dog, where the advertising industry clothes itself in pseudoscience and pretends to have mind control abilities whilst also being like weird, fake and hipstery gay.
Yes.
Often playing up their links to government and their weaponizing of sociology and behavioral science against what is plainly seen as a feckless mass ripe to be controlled.
Yes. Who nudges the nudges? Technically, we do, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. We've found ourselves at a weird confluence here. But what I want to go over before I show you some abject cringe, where we're doing some cringe today, finally, guys. This is accidentally turned into one of the most red meat episodes we've done in a while, mostly just because of the research. I was so happy when I just kept finding stuff. Anyway, yes, Nudgestock is the world's biggest festival of behavioral science and creativity, attracting all those with an appetite to understand the human animal. A lot of loaded stuff there.
Yes.
Our theme this year was messy, which means they're on fucking collapse watch like we are. That's because our heads are messy, our organizations are messy, and the world is messy. Yeah, we're all mentally ill, we don't know what's going on, so we're just going to engage in what are effectively like the Edward Bernays dark arts, but really openly in like a really Reddit South by Southwest way.
Yes.
This is what this feels like. It feels like South by Southwest put on by an advertising mega corporation, because that's what it is.
It is consent manufacturing in a way we've never really seen before.
But where there's mess, there's an opportunity to change behavior. I prefer that when Littlefinger said it, which is chaos is a ladder, but I digress.
Are we going to influence the people in the choice stream?
Yes. Yes, we are. We're going to talk about the speakers at some point. But first of all, I just want to talk about how a lot of their partner features, there's things like Cloud Army here, which describe themselves as a globally renowned pioneer in neuro-nudge testing. We provide science-led evaluation and optimization of nudge strategies, ideas, campaigns, and campaigns designed to change perception and behavior. We are firm believers that a stronger blending of creativity and mind science ultimately creates a more compelling and effective nudges. So they're just people like, yes, we will measure your social engineering. LinkedIn, we'll get to. LinkedIn has their own in-house think tank now called the B2B Institute. It's a think tank funded completely by LinkedIn, which is Microsoft. So Microsoft is engaging with this as well. So the mega corps are all coming. Instapanel, talk about AIs.
People-powered, tech-empowered market research.
Well,
we run video and quant studies with impossibly quick turnaround. It's just like them selling themselves.
Well, they create taglines. Like, that's all they do.
Yeah.
They create quotes. They create, like, inspirational quotes. It's like a joke. It's just a lot of wannabes and also megacorps.
Well, this is just that this is the height of sort of managerialism. It's all these different sort of apparatchiks that all do very, very specific instances of studying behavior. You know, how does employment benefits change the behavior of employees and their spending habits over the long term? And they literally spend 25 years of their life studying that.
JK raises a good point. Yes, a lot of those paragraphs have a whiff of the ChatGTP about them. I've begun to my pattern detection brain has begun to detect it. Like how a lot of people can see Photoshop now. A lot of people will just be able to see ChatGTP. Like, you'll just unfocus your eyes and look at a page and you'll see it.
It's like the pig Latin, ipso lorem, just the nonsense.
But
it's the Peppa Pig, right?
But anyway, I'm afraid I must now expose you to some cringe, because this is the type of people that these people are. It's not all going to be on screen, and this audio is terrible. I'm going to have to turn it down again for the other clips. But yeah, just let's just experience this for a second, shall we?
Causality.
It's awesome.
2023. I will leave myself for my own opinions. I will leave myself for my own opinions. I am not a sheep. I am not a sheep.
Right, I'll start that before the horrible incidental music they have on their stuff.
How much would you not want to know a single one of those people?
It's just a... The thing is, they're trying to be all twee here, but this is just the tone that all of this is made in. This is the horrible Reddit tone that this is all made in.
This is so quirky and fun.
We are quirky and fun, but also we are from the largest advertising company
In the world.
Well, guess that. I just wanted to go through quickly the partner stuff. And LinkedIn B2B Institute is a corporate think tank, something increasingly common. Owned by Microsoft, LinkedIn have a virtual monopoly on the professional social media space, along with Slack. And some companies make you have to have a profile there. It is also the best tool to dock someone with.
Yes, the cult of professionalism strikes again.
But yeah, they've just got stuff on here. Wherever you look at it, it's all business to business trends.
This is actually stuff that like black people on Twitter talk to each other about
Look at this shit.
I'm gonna be the black Bill Gates. I believe in the 60-40 method.
What the fuck is this? Brand activation cones.
Don't you see? Because they're cones and not just normal shapes, that means it's really clever.
They've got the sting symbols in the background. The trends indicate that brands will become more. Like, this is exactly aimed at middle managers with like 95 IQ who think they are geniuses. That is who this is all for. but that's to go on a bit of a tangent. Who is really running this?
Who's Nudgefest for? Or sorry, Nudgestock?
Well, it's Ogilvy, one of the largest arms of the largest marketing firm in the world, a part of WPP, which is undisputedly largest advertising firm in the world.
I think I looked up WPP Group last year, or was it 2021 or last year? Their revenue alone was $17 billion.
Yes, they... We have moved from the millionaires to the billionaires. So I'm sure Bernie Sanders will be very, very happy.
As you have come across, and we will continue to sort of bring up across this stream, Ogilvy seems to be one of the private companies that handles a large amount of the advertisement for Sadiq Khan.
Yes, he is.
And sort of internal London stuff. I would presume if we were to dig even slightly further, we might find that those like terrible adverts that were appearing in the London Underground that were like, just blatantly anti-white and anti-British, were probably written by these people.
They're involved in most, if not all, of the campaigns that come out of the office of the Mayor of London, yes. They're a very old advertising firm. They've been through a lot of iterations. They're kind of a transatlantic one, founded in 1850. But really, in their current guise, they're like most large advertising firms in that they have verticals specifically. Watch this. It's magic.
God. But you don't want to pay £6,500 for
goodbye, the goodbye element.
You don't want to pay £6,500 for the ultimate package.
Ogilvy launches specialist Muslim division. Ogilvy and Mather has launched a global branding practice that will specialize in Islamic branding. And that's mostly to do with advertising to Muslims who are already in the UK.
Agency Group says the Muslim consumer market of 1.8 billion people is the next important and largely untapped opportunity, adding that the halal market is worth 2.1 trillion a year.
Well, this has been folded into some of the campaigns which are just from the UK government. But I'll talk about the fact that really Ogilvy is a series of units. It is so big that it's broken down into PR units, advertising units, behavioral science units, which is the one running this one. But they are a massive megacorp who is attempting to buck kind of the trend of bloat, meaning uncompetitive, by splitting itself into these ever smaller, ever more specific teams that target people in a very, again, particular way.
Ever more niche marketing.
Yes, yes. But we'll get to some more of how they do that later. But here we have one of their visible initiatives through the Nudge Stock stuff. This is from last year, I believe, or earlier this year. This isn't from the mainline stuff we've just seen. But when fasting leads to food waste, which is, it's the UK government trying to stop Muslims wasting loads of food during Ramadan. It's kind of weird. Later on in my research, I found this and just thought it was funny that they have this Muslim marketing vertical with like weird white Muslim women. But it just turns out that this has come from the UK government, because this is in partnership with a big NGO. It's part of their Food Waste in the UK initiative, which is like what China did when it was running out of food.
Yeah.
In fact, a lot of people took that as a signal that China was about to move into famine, and yet here we are.
Yeah.
It's to do with the UK government and a PR firm called RAP. That is an eco-PR firm, by the way. They're a climate change activism NGO. Yeah,
climate action NGO RAP's income grew by 6.9 million from 20 million to nearly 27 million from 2021 to 2022.
Who's that money coming from? Well, according to the counts, the increase stems from the international income of 900,000 business contributions, other government funding of 3.6 million, including 3.3 million contribution from non-departmental public body research and innovation. So it's a public, so it's UK research innovation, 3.3 million. In total, RAP received core grant funding from DEFRA, Department of, it's Farming and Rural Affairs?
Yes.
Of 9.7 million and 4.3 million from the Welsh government, and another million from DERA. So that's straight away more than half of this Globo climate change NGO.
I thought I caught that. As we write, a pandemic is being followed by a war. The net zero narrative. I thought it was real. What do you mean narrative?
Well, this climate change NGO is almost wholly funded by the UK government.
Yes.
This is how the sausage gets made. We'll probably come back to RAP at some point, because I want to talk about it when we talk about how the regime runs all sides. But RAP is, they are partnering with Ogilvy, one of the largest advertising companies in the world.
Just to take a moment. Namu Z, thank you for becoming a member. And I also see End of Everything asking about early life checks. Well, I can tell you for a fact that WPP, the larger group that Ogilvy belongs part of, was invented by a Jewish man in London, who was born there in 1945. And of course, because he was born before VE Day, he is of course a Holocaust survivor. Anyway. And we, of course, want to let you know that, because we love the nation of Israel.
We love the nation of Israel so much that Ben Shapiro has stolen one of our mantras.
He's stolen our bet!
Nudge Zero. Well, we talked about Can You Nudge Net Zero? We've talked about the Nudge Unit, but yes, here's an NGO, a climate change NGO, with half of its contributions, more than half of its contributions, probably a lot of the other half of it as well, coming from the UK government. Hooray! Hooray for that. But here's another bit about Ogilvy, who's running the Nudge Stock. They also own one of the biggest neocon lobbying groups, former the Federalist Group, called Ogilvy Government Relations. They have all the oil and coal companies on their books, which
This agreement significantly strengthens both organizations as government get decisions continue to have a growing effect on companies and industries' operation. Federalist Group specializes in government relations and has earned an unsurpassed reputation for successful legislative regulatory advocacy.
So they're not only climate change wonks, they're neocons. They're whatever you want them to be.
Its partners include Wayne Berman, a former political appointee under President Bush and former senior advisor for Bush-Cheney Transition Team 2001. Ogilvy PR is a global public relations firm with a full range of communication services housed within seven practices.
But yes, I just want to show you that they are playing, like any good company does, they are playing all sides. They are not an ideologically committed company in the abstract. They are so big that they have to operate like the globe, like the, you know, global power people do in general, is that they control the narratives on all sides.
Yes.
They are part of this process, and they have become very, very tightly integrated with governments. But yes, they are, in fact, as of 2009, I can't seem to find better up-to-date information about their PR stuff, but as of 2009, they were the joint biggest anti-climate change lobby group in Washington, which makes a lot of the stuff you're about to see seem baffling. It's, again, it's very clear that these people do not, they are not ideological. They don't take ideological positions. They don't move ideologically. These people were not taken over by activists. This is not an ideological situation.
Well, they all stand for the facilitating of money and pressure both in and out political institutions and in and out of private organizations. However we want to refer, however private they may or may not be, it is these groups like Ogilvy that allow for that almost perfect kind of operation between one and the other with no sort of buffer zone.
Anyway, Ogilvy's also famous for I think it's now, was it $380 million contract with FEMA? They're the people who are going to put the flat art in the FEMA camps. We found it, guys. We found out. Yes, there will be flat people art in the FEMA camps, and Ogilvy's going to put it there. $250 million in a single contract with FEMA. What does FEMA need $250 million retainer with the world's largest advertising and PR firm for? I wonder. They also worked a Chinese person to death, and a year later...
24-year-old Ogilvy PR employee in Beijing has died after suffering a heart attack while at his desk. Ogilvy China confirmed the young man, Gabriel Lee...
Oh, that's like an angina joke.
...passed away suddenly, but local media reports that followed saying his death was caused by overwork have not been substantiated.
See... Kill one person in Asia. Shame on you. Kill two people in Asia.
Shame on Wu.
Death of Ogilvy Philippines employee sparks a new debate about work-life balance at agencies. He's doing overtime with like double pneumonia and just dropped dead. poor bastards.
They just wanted to spread global homo that bad.
They really did just want to spread global homo. That bad. I've made a bit of a mistake here, and I've closed the Nudgestock website, so I'll quickly get that back up because I want to do the speakers. The first speaker I want to talk about is he not up here? Where's he gone? God, this is dire here.
Keep scrolling.
Yeah, keep there scrolling, scroll. It's a guy called Chris Graves.
Yes, it's his profile on their website that you're looking for.
Yeah. He's not on the speakers list though. No, I know. I was just trying to get the speakers list because I'll be using that for some other people. Okay. Chris Graves is the founder of the Ogilvy Center. I keep saying Ovaltine. We don't even have that here. Ogilvy Center for Behavioral Science. He is their kind of behavioral science guy.
Oh, God. Can I read this? Because this reads like a who's who here.
Yeah.
Behavioral science at Ogilvy Consulting. Chris works to boost the effectiveness of every client engagement through applying a deep understanding of the real why of human behavior. His work also decodes the hidden who of individuals at scale using proprietary new lenses of personality trait science, worldviews, and thinking styles. Previously, Chris served as global CEO and chair of Ogilvy Public Relations and served two terms as a public relations industry chair. His first career, he worked as a top news media executive at the Wall Street Journal and CNBC for more than 20 years. Chris has been honoured with a Rockefeller Foundation Bellagio residency, as well as earned 4 annual Atticus Award honours. And one of the things, again, that was mentioned in... you mentioned it in the Think Tank Immersion article. Yeah. It's been everywhere in that Foundations book I've been reading. That people who work in these consultancies and people who work for the foundations that fund them, the Rockefeller Foundation, are all the same people. And they, I know, they transparently move from one to the next position almost perfectly. And now I know,
missed that. He was elected life member of the Council on Foreign Relations in 2010. A very, very dense nest of the globalist. It's all the same people.
I wonder.
It's not a very big club, but you're still not in it.
No.
It's just, his talk was called
From Nudges to jabs. Why the revealing the hidden who matters.
I'm not going to, because he's an annoying American with a really annoying accent. He just kind of waffled in this. Really what he's talking about here is the fact that they did the Cambridge Analytica thing with vaccine hesitancy.
Yes.
And basically Pfizer and all the clot shop merchants got together, paid them like a bajillion dollars, and they basically went out and brute forced it. They broke down groups through pretty
consensus
typical
cracking and all the usual. Basically using the same techniques one would expect GCHQ used to split up what they would refer to as terrorism. Instead of they're splitting up the blocks of people on either Facebook or Twitter or some other platform, you're spreading vaccine misinformation and therefore not getting people to uptake the vaccine. I mean, you said to me, there's a slightly interesting part of this where he's essentially describing these sort of like 16 different narratives that they came up with, both for and against.
No, that they just do it for. There's no against.
I wouldn't be surprised if they have for and against, so they can come up with ones that are against it but false, so they can come and debunk them under their own sort of auspices.
Well, they came up with 16 different approaches to essentially psychologically attack people, some of which will be mutually exclusive. They don't get into the approaches because that's what it means. They also don't get into how this was targeted because it's just the Cambridge analyst. Yeah, what does the N on the stage mean? It means they couldn't use a they have the weird gay N that they're using because the other N just makes people think Netflix.
Nudges,
weird imagination. But yeah, he basically they created 16 different, sometimes conflicting narratives, and they did the whole kind of micro targeting thing on places like social media to make sure that they were targeting people that they got data profiles from. The other part of this is none of this functions without being able to map which of these people you are sending it to. The hidden hand here is that of the social media data industry. And they don't want to talk about that because, again, people don't like talking about Palantir. They don't like talking about Cambridge Analytica. And they don't like being associated with what they label as dark arts because they engage in it too. This is them engaging it. They're doing the exact same thing that the Trump campaign was raked over the coals for many years. It's still like a dirty word in the behavioral science sphere is Cambridge Analytica. But here they are doing the exact same thing, but they're just doing it for the right reasons. And you'll see that as a big, there's two big kind of standout points they don't talk about here. They don't talk about the fact that what they're doing in other contexts is portrayed by them as abjectly evil. And they don't talk about that this is mostly legacy stuff they're working with.
Yes.
Most of the people you see here, you know, Microsoft is sponsoring them essentially. They're the largest advertising firm in the world. There's people like Hellman's we'll get to. There's governments and councils, and all of it is big money. None of these people are taking products and developing them into a success.
No.
All they are doing is inheriting already successful structures or being paid by governments. That's how they can play around with a playbook that outside of a few very obvious things like tailoring messages to people don't work. A lot of the behavioral science stuff, we talked about it during the replication crisis stream, but most of the cognitive science in quotes this is based on is not true.
Well, because I think in a deep sort of sense, some of them that are involved in this know that it's not true.
Yeah.
And really in a very simple sense, it's just about making the narrative stick and just washing everything with whatever narrative needs to be pushed forwards. What are you looking for?
I'm trying to find the staff page again, but I'm nope. There it is. There we go. Sorry, I've clicked on the wrong thing there. that needs to go away too. So all the windows seem to be moving around. But the second speaker I wanted to talk about was someone called... We can't talk about all of them. I'm sure there'll be more interesting people we've missed here. Do go and look at the research notes afterwards. A lot of them are just Ogilvy people.
Yeah.
And it's kind of boring. But this one kind of stood out. It's Elham Nurbakash. And Elham Nurbakash is Global Marketing Director at Unilever and leads the Global Hellmann's Master Brand as one of Unilever's biggest global brands and the world's number one mayonnaise. Under Esham's leadership has become living proof of how a brand's purpose can be an accelerant of business growth and brand equity while driving positive societal impact.
That is the thing I've always thought. Mayonnaise has been too white. We need Indian people eating mayonnaise. We need black people eating mayonnaise. Just so I don't have to fucking eat it, because it's disgusting.
Well, how did she manage this? She piggybacked on a government campaign. She took the government money. It's the same Ramadan campaign, basically. It's the same Ramadan campaign, but just the Muslim-specific stuff taken off it. It's about eating leftovers, because you live in the fucking Soviet Union, and you can't afford to buy food. it's so awful.
It's amazing.
Sorry, it's probably quite loud for people there. My apologies if that was a bit loud. But
just go back. Is it going to be good? Go back to the chat for a second. There's just going to be people going, "No, my ears."
Ah, no. I think it might have just drowned us out a smidge there, but it wasn't horribly loud. But yeah, it's just the same government-led campaign. Yeah. In fact, here it is. Here's rap.
Usually just hang out in the lot at Nudstock and sell nitrous balloons.
World-leading research will pave the way for mainstream reuse and refill shopping in UK supermarkets. This is part of
It's rap again.
Asda and Unilever. This is the rap. So,
it's just Walmart and who are the family that run bloody Walmart?
The Waltons.
Yeah, it's just the Waltons and Unilever, but, you know, 2/3 of the entire world's food production.
The UK government, WPP, Walmart, and Unilever, all together in a nice little package telling you to eat scraps.
Yeah.
Walmart, Unilever, WPP, the largest advertising firm in the world, and the UK government says, fuck you, eat scraps. It's just...
You will eat bloody chicken feed.
Here's the other one, though. We figured it out, guys. We figured out where the mate campaign came from.
What you mean to say is that if anyone could have come up with the mate campaign, it would have had to be Elham Nurbakhshish.
I've closed the speakers thing. I think she's at the near the bottom here. Anyway, where's she? There she is.
Is this the other one?
This is a different one. I'm sorry. That wasn't.
I see the that wasn't Elham
Nurbakhshish. Here is Pooja Parmar.
Pooja is responsible for the overarching campaign strategy for the Mayor of London. Again.
Yep.
Ogilvy, WPP. She leads and oversees multi-award-winning Mayor of London campaigns such as Have a Word, London is Open, and Let's Do London, amongst others. A brand campaigns and communication strategy specialist, Pooja leads teams and departments to coordinate London's COVID-19 response campaign, as well as campaigns addressing vaccine hesitancy, delivering Brexit support, and tackling homelessness.
As I said, no one who attended Nudgefest is actually a person.
This woman is solely, not solely, but one of the many people responsible for turning the homelessness advocacy in Britain into an immigrant issue.
Yes, possibly. We'll see, but yeah, there's him.
Why'd you keep closing that tab? Because I'm pretty sure the Heineken dudes are that.
Oh, no! I do keep closing the wrong tab. I'll get it opening in a sec. But yeah, the same mates next time the behaviour towards women goes too far. So this is that campaign you've seen all over social media. We're not going to play it here because we'll probably get like copyright struck.
I'm sorry, I think I need to see it anyway. It's all right because Chancellor Chieftain has sent us $5 saying, I'm paying you to stop the cringe. Because they're only Canadian, we'll avoid this one element of cringe.
Yeah, there will be no cringe here.
Except there will be later cringe.
There will be massive amounts of cringe. It's part of the Have a Word campaign. By the way, the Have a Word campaign is part of a... Where does that say there? Yeah. This campaign builds on the mayor's award-winning Have a Word campaign. This is the mayor launches new campaign empowering men to challenge misogyny by saying mate to their mates when they cross the line. Again, though, it's being advertised as a mitigation practice of violence against
this
women.
Initiative aims to challenge the sexist attitudes and inappropriate behaviors exhibited by some men in order to tackle the epidemic of misogyny and violence against women and girls. A core part of this campaign is the Have a Word campaign video, which has been viewed over 15 million times by people who thought it was fucking cringe.
Yeah, people are just viewing it to laugh at it, but here we go. It's already an award-winning campaign, though. Oh, dear.
God, the Grand Prix at DMA Awards. Can you imagine going to the advertisement, like, in industry advertisement buddy award shows?
Well, vast amounts of money have been spent on this. I believe for the specific campaigns themselves, in 2018 alone, like, 10 million was spent. 143 campaigns. London is open behind every great woman's campaign, blah 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 blah. But the mayor of London's office spends millions of pounds as a permanent PR kind of exercise to keep Sadiq Khan in power.
Yep.
There is hundreds, and this is a historic problem, so there's hundreds of millions spent every year. Mayor proposes
Further $3 million investment in Sadiq's hugely successful Let's Do London domestic tourism campaign.
That's £10 million in a single campaign, which again was Ogilvy, I believe.
God. Let's Do London, the biggest domestic tourism campaign ever, has already proved hugely successful, bringing in an additional $70 million in spending and 280,000 visitors to the capital, delivering a return on investment of £18 for every £1 spent. That sounds pathetic.
Well, that's also just wrong, because people went back to London because they were prevented from doing so because you locked them in their houses.
Yeah.
It's, again, new £4 million investment by mayor to help vulnerable women and girls at greater risk of violence, abuse due to cost of living crisis. This is just the May campaign.
Yeah.
This is like they spent £4 million quid on that campaign, and they sold it instead of challenging rape gangs, because Sadiq Khan can't do that because it's all his mates. All they're doing is marketing all this wonky shit.
Just
to people.
Handing money hand over fist.
Yeah, this is where all of your money goes. We have been through all the campaigns so far that we've highlighted are all fed by government money. The government's paying Unilever. Tell people not to waste food, and they're doing it via a green NGO. Yep. It's almost perfect for our stuff. And the thing is, we didn't know any of this going in, really. You just saw funny Cruz Campo stuff.
No, there was other stuff I was thinking about at the time. But yes, this is the thing that always happens, though, is we take something, we look at it, and all of a sudden, everything that we thought could be connected is connected, and actually makes it even worse than we otherwise thought.
Well, this is a report from the Centre for Policy Studies when it was quite new. This is from 2007.
The fledgling
Centre for Policy Studies. And they found that under Ken Livingstone in 2007, the situation was already so bad that £100 million had already been spent on, like, advertising quangos. This is the quango era.
Yep.
Ooh, we get to talk about the quango. No, $100 million. That was from Freedom of Information request. The headline amount was hidden, but yeah, back in 2007, they were already spending like $100 million on £100 million. Sorry, on PR in America, on PR and advertising from the mayor of London's office, and that really is why Sadiq Khan is everywhere.
It goes to show how important it is in terms of not just a national, but an international propaganda hub.
Yeah.
That sums of money, even, you know, 20-odd years ago, towards, you know, what they say in there, 33 million 18 years ago. Stupid money for a campaign.
Not sure. Stop researching this stuff. You're conjuring up worse reality. I think some people actually think that. By how I've seen some of the reactions to our content.
This is what everyone seems to think about the Tony Blair stuff. I mean, I said that as a joke for a while, but now a lot of people seem to think it's serious.
Well, here's the behavioural science behind
it. How do you study a behaviour like misogyny?
Yeah. from Pooja Panma. So, most of the talking's done by this white guy, though.
I was going to say, is this guy Pooja Parma or is he Bianca Novais?
He's neither of them. He's the man who basically did all the practical work from Ogilvy.
But see, imagine, right, you know, it's festival season.
Blair's a thought form, he's a tulpa.
And it's festival season, you've put all that work into your different outfits and your tent, and you've sneaked your drink into the venue and you've got your secret substances, and you're thinking you're going to be spending, you know, the next 36 hours of your life fried at your head and all sorts of substances. Well, Richard Thaler, sort of as a morphing kind of object on the wall, explains to you his Maoist climate utopia. But no, all you get is this.
It's them going, oh, well, yes, the elongated A gets the attention of the conversation, and the hard T, I say mate with a hard T.
I can think of some hard consonants.
Yeah.
The T sounds indicate that there has been a shift in conversation. Helps the speaker gently convey disapproval.
They sold some shit. This is them just going, we don't have any ideas about this. Like, I don't know, fucking make him say may, make it silly.
It doesn't really work in most of the UK, though, because if you were trying to say it as it's spelled there, you wouldn't say mate, you would say mate. Just like, it sounds like you're speaking some foreign thing. Unless you're like proper as you would refer to Carswell Massive.
Ain't it, bruv?
Oh, ain't it, man?
Going to the boss of my day saver. Smoked a reefer.
That's like M-E-Y-T-E. It's different.
You sound like a fucking scrub from a council estate around there. Yeah. You sound like you sound like you're from fucking north of Manchester somewhere. Nah, that's all I can hear.
Yerba, mate.
Yerba, mate. Now, that's a bit wild, yam yams, that is. Oh, dear, we find them on Conic Chase.
This is why, like, 7 out of 10 viewers that watch this are from Britain, because we just, like, devolve into this nonsense sometimes.
I tell you what you want to do. You'll put a banging donk on it. We've been had. We've definitely been had. But yeah, this is the quality, though. They are selling people things that they know are not real. Like, I don't think anyone in this room, if they were to be quizzed about it, would try and defend this. If you were to grill an attendee of Nudgefest, you'd be like, look, an elongated A and a sharp T in like a South London council estate isn't going to stop you getting your head kicked in because somebody wants to, you know, shout some profanities in a broken English at a passing woman.
Yeah.
It's an illustration of, one, how detached from reality they are, and two, how much ritual humiliation they kind of get away with as well.
This also reminds me of the scaffolders from Ruddy Hell as part of Harry and Paul.
Well, you see, the long A grabs their attention, and the harsh T makes it clear that we don't think.
I would think more, you know, when one insults the woman from the elevated position 3 stories up on the scaffolding, one does not just say slag, it's slag.
As embarrassing as this screen is, it's Nudgestock is just simply a vehicle for Ogilvy and their various clients and partners to show up how deeply committed they are to treating humans like animals, be trained and controlled. This is how you would talk about like dog training.
Yeah.
Like these people are like probably behind closed doors, strangely red-pilled in certain ways. Like this man considers somebody in a South London council estate who's black like you would consider a Labrador. Mm. He considers him literally a human animal.
But I think the problem that limits these people from ever actually being powerful or useful in and of themselves is that even though they reject essentially liberalism for the largest part, it's done in an overbearing humanist sort of thing. They don't, you know, it was quite funny. I made a tweet that would have been the end of last week that was something to the effect of, you know, unpopular opinion, but black people, for historical reasons, cannot be held responsible for their actions. And everyone responded to me saying, you know, is this like some sort of shit-lib lefty take because you're such a humanist that you don't believe black people can be responsible for themselves?
I don't know. This Well, we have a concept called, like, mental retardation where we talk about the fact that people are incapable below a certain IQ threshold. But I'll not get the curves out today.
Yes.
We'll leave the curves there.
No bell curves today.
No, we'll leave the bell curves there. But it's... I get it. they have a very dark vision, and really it's the same kind of dark vision people criticize Edward Bernays for. It actually reminds me of something that Ted Kaczynski talked about. Because one of the quotes from Ted Kaczynski we've used in previous pieces is the fact that people will read that the advertising industry is full of people who are essentially using like snake oil salesman tactics and mental pressure to use like psychological methods to break people down in a way that would not be acceptable if they knew about it. And then because that idea has become normalized, like
they're like, oh, well, they could be doing something worse, so it's okay.
Well, that's just Ted going, what is no longer revelation is normalization.
Yeah.
Like he beat us to the punch by like a long way.
I just love the next line you've got here in the notes. Democracy is a system where you have to be sold something you apparently already want. By people who have to utilize techniques developed from psychological warfare experiments that the replication crisis shows don't even work.
The ultimate kind of white pill out of all of this stuff is that all what these people are talking about is nonsense. It doesn't work. And thank you, Rick, for the £2 super sticker. I believe that's the first super sticker we've ever got, despite you starting the stream by saying the word super sticker every week for about a year. So thank you very much for that. I just think you like that as a phrase. Yes. The last example we have quite quickly is it's kind of the one that got us here. This is really one of the only organic marketing, well, not traditional marketing campaigns, let's say, they talk about.
Can you go back to the speakers one for a second? Yeah. You scroll up for a second, there you go. Yeah. This is the woman that's on that panel.
Yes, it
there.
Is. This is Martia Gracia Alonso, blah, 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 and this guy as well, Robert Faro, I believe. He's from Ogilvy, Spain, and she is from Heineken, the Heineken Group. For those of you who don't know, Cruz Campo is a disgusting beer from the Heineken Group, who doesn't make any good beers. I checked. They make nothing worth drinking. It's quite impressive.
Dos Cruz Campos por favore, gracias.
Marta Garcia Alonso. Yeah, whatever. Digital marketing era. Basically, I'm not going to play you too much of this. What I'll do is I'll play you this. In the headphones, so don't go too past. But I'll play you this little bit of the stream because it's quite remarkable the things he says here. I don't know. Maybe he's just slightly naive. I don't really know why he says this anyway.
Then we start learning about these like terminology of behavioral science. You know, the practical effect, the fresh start effect, and we were like kind of like surprised, amused. But at the same time, we were like, oh, my God, I've been controlled all my life, and I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So it's kind of like the robot understanding that it's a robot.
Yeah. And so...
Let him go on just a little bit there.
No, he changes topic.
Does it just not get addressed at all?
No, he just goes off on a tangent and says, like, yeah, all these people from Ogilvy head office... came into our like little Ogilvy Spain office to talking about this Cruz Campo drink, and they told me that I have been a slave my entire life to their behavioral cognitive tricks, and instead of being ashamed or angered by this revelation, I used it to sell beer.
All I'm saying is that's a suspiciously large nose for a Hispanic man.
He just sits there and says, yes, they started talking about practical effects and the fresh start effect. We were amused, but at the same time, we were like, oh my God, I've been controlled my whole life. It's kind of like the robot understanding he's a robot.
Yeah, let's not like kill the people that did this or anything. Let's use these techniques to sell shit beer.
Like, imagine you're somebody who's maybe slightly naive of this, and you get told by these people that they effectively have magic powers. First of all, I'd be skeptical of them. But second of all, I'd just be like, well, that's anti-human. And what all of this is extremely anti-human in its terminology.
But you can tell this man is anti-human anyway because he stands behind a beer that's way too hot.
Well, the strategy, they talk about the strategy being one of mental reframing, utilizing what he talks about as a fresh start effect in an attempt to market the beer, not as old-fashioned, but as part of the roots of Andalusian, i.e. Bathurst culture. In Spain's famously fractured ethnic identity, they literally made an appeal to ethnos, based around reconnection with your roots. It's reminiscent of a failed and ultimately illegal attempt in Ireland from Heineken to market their beers as local microbrews. And that's really what Heineken does, is they try and hide the fact of who they are, because people don't like their beers because they make shit. And I believe they got fined for this, because this is probably an early version of this style of marketing. They maybe couldn't be quite deceptive, but they quite literally went around the island setting up fake microbrews and marketing them to people, and then got a bit flustered when they got found out that they were just lying.
Mm.
And ultimately, really, that's what it's about. It's about the ideas of the unbound advertiser. People used to do this in the shadows in the past. They used to be ashamed of this, at least, but they're not anymore. They're coming out and basically saying, yes, we are the behavioral engineers. We are the behavioral scientists. And as I said earlier, they haven't built anything. All of this comes from companies that have been rich for decades.
Yep.
All of this comes from governments, and it's proximity to governments, really.
Clear them out.
Yeah, it's not like there's no development here. Society isn't being even bettered, really, in any sort of material sense. What we experience is someone essentially taking the pre-existing power structures that stand just now and using more intensive and more intrusive and, quite frankly, evil forms of propaganda to make that sort of power structure persist.
I'm trying to figure out what the...
So is Indonesian ruples.
Oh, right, okay. Thank you for the 100,000 Indonesian ruples. I'm sure that's...
Well, did you have a look at that for a second and think, we're fucking rich?
No, I was trying to figure out what currency it was. Thank you very much, not sure, for the Sikh super sticker of...
Nudge them out.
But yeah, we wanted to kind of go through that. It's a bit of a vertical slice, let's say, of yes. Nudgefest. Who is involved? Why they're involved? What they've been up to, and why they're a bunch of dirty, dirty bastards.
Well, yeah, no, it's just, as you say, it's funny that these people who, you know, even really, I would say even like 20 or 30 years ago, if you were to like go to the pub and say to people, oh, I'm an advertiser, folk would like not give you a second look.
Yeah.
No one's buying you a pint.
No.
Because you're filthy.
I believe that's probably got worse with just how advertising
possibly in certain areas. But then here they are, is building their own little managerial corporate culture, and now they're becoming professionals because, you know, behavioral science has moved in tandem and also slightly behind advertising
yes.
to legitimize all their practices by turning around and saying, actually, confusing or misleading or outright lying to people in these certain situations has scientifically been proven to be good.
Well, that's why the Nudge Unit was quite important. The Nudge Unit, I think, was David Cameron's only real piece of Blairite genius.
Yes, I mean, someone did mention in the chat, I can't quite remember the guy's name at the moment, but the original Behavioural Science Unit guy, it might be Nick something or Matt something. It was the end of everything, but I could mention him.
Yes.
He's someone we'll probably have to look in again.
We will.
In future. I mean, it's just, it is that big list of stuff. At some point, we want to look at the Equality Act. At some point, we want to look at the Modern Slavery Act. At some point, we want to look at the Child Poverty Act. At some point, we probably want to look up, you know, the original initiation of David Halpern. That's the one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
David Solomon Halpern. You know, these are all things we need to look at, and they all take quite a lot of time. And when we've got weeks where we can, we will either chip away at the research or we will try and bring it to you all in one kind of go. I mean, partly what we might ask people, consider the fact that we've got like a little sort of 5 minutes here before we get to the hour, is there any sort of subjects that people would prefer we tackle sooner rather than later?
Well, if you do have them.
You could, of course, instead of just writing it in the chat now, you could give us a little donation and we might consider your recommendation slightly more strongly than other people's, because this is not a democracy.
No, we do have commissions open. I've just done some silly ones. If you want me to do a reading, do a meme, or you want a custom kind of video topic or request a stream topic, we do have that facility available on the Ko-fi. And those are open to, like, you know, refusal and stuff. Basically, if it's not something we can do or it's something we're going to do anyway, I'll just refund you.
Yeah.
It doesn't go, you know, it's something that's put to the creator. It doesn't automatically go through. So it's not like we can nick your money, basically. No. But I just thought that was a good idea. But you generally just contact us, put it in the stuff below, put it in the Telegram, which is in the description. We do have a lot of kind of communication platforms. We also have a few backup places, but I'll do some more on that at some point. I'll stop shilling as much. Now, the another point about all of this is, as I said, the Behavioural Insights team legitimized this in Cameron's one piece, I think, of Blairite genius. And they've been the trailblazers. They kind of broke the taboo. What happened was that David Cameron, with a nudge in it, came out and said, look, we're psychologically pressuring people to do things they don't want to do. That's a good thing. We're going to have to do it openly now. Mm. And a lot of people went, oh, it's so brave. He's being so brave. It's so brave.
I think they did the same with the think tank stuff as well, to be quite frank. Yeah, do a stream on Barbie to lure Shapiro in. someone will have to buy me a kippa first.
Well, you were saying, sorry.
I think David Cameron did the same thing with think tanks as well. I think the way that we see, you know, Blair sort of held up the Institute for Government as a sort of, you know, this is our institution, but that was very much done sort of as an inter-elite thing.
Yes.
Whereas nowadays, the presence of, as we have pointed out, Henry Jackson, Policy Exchange, Chatham House people on media, not just their words, but physically them on the media, that's sort of unprecedented.
Yes, it is. One of the dynamics as well is that the people in something like Nudgestock aren't selling behavioural science to consumers.
No.
They are selling it essentially to large organisations who are then paying them large amounts of money for things that they are the people who measure if they work or not.
Yeah, it's wholly a method for facilitating the revolution of mass and scale. I might wonder, actually, considering the fact we talked about the population collapse on the stream on Monday, what sort of nudge strategies are being developed to manage the perceptions of a population collapse by these people?
Well, a lot of it is through the climate stuff. A lot of it will be, yes, the population is collapsing, yes, there's no children around, but that's a good thing because the earth will heal, we are the virus.
Mm.
That is ultimately what they always fall back on. That's been a shape of things since the 90s, really. If we look at the advertising environment, in quotes, of what goes on now, it's all very much led by governments and NGOs. And we see why. So you'd think there'd be a lot more about advertising campaigns in this.
Yeah.
But really, it's just about, oh, we were given a massive amount of money by an NGO and a government to do a social initiative. Just that that's not even really like using behavioral insights to sell a product anymore. You are just part of the managerial machine. You've just inserted yourself as a cog in their games. And that's really all you're doing. Once you understand where this all comes from, once you understand the whole mate thing is just the mayor of London pissing money away because they can, and it keeps all of their friends employed, all of their weird semi-policy wonks.
I would imagine much like the situation with Henry Jackson and people like the Shawcross family.
Yeah.
That there are probably people in Sadiq Khan's family that work for Ogilvy and vice versa.
Yes. I don't know. I'd be interested to see the overlap here with policy people, because this is very, very clearly part of like the elite class world.
Well, yeah, there was
people are like super mediocre, middle-level managerialists. They all speak with, I went to a good university, actually.
There is a perfect confluence, and I think every time we have covered any of these organizations, we have shown it. Government, between media, between NGOs, and between foundations that support the NGOs, the media, and the government, and vice versa. You know, it is that sort of false circulation of the elites that democracy is so well known for, is that the ruling caste stays as it is, and people just shuffle around. One week you're a media rep, next week you work at the Nudge Unit, week after that you're presenting, you know, Policy Exchange papers on GB News, and then the week after that you're running a populist anti-woke campaign for the Tory party.
Yep, basically. Well, with that in mind, do check out our links below, do support us if you can. Thank you for coming to the stream, and you guys have yourselves a good evening.
Go to the pub this weekend.
Woo! Pub Nation.
Nudge Stock! Woo!